Senator Harman
Sounds good.
second. Any discussion on the July 1st minutes? All right, then I'll entertain a motion to adopt them.
I'll move.
Sorry. We're not in motion anyway. My apologies. All
That's
those in
all.
favor?
Aye.
Thanks.
Any opposed? All right, cool. So the July 1st meeting minutes are adopted. We'll go right into resolutions. Resolution number 419, amending and decreasing ARPA funding for Capital Project 635 and amending and increasing ARPA funding for the Ulster County 2024 operating budget to provide $154,611 for rental assistance through Legal Services of the Hudson Valley, ARP Division through the Department of Finance. And I will defer to Deputy Executive Contreras to just give us a quick overview.
Sure. So this is related to Resolution 371 that was passed in July. This was sponsored by Legislator Uchitel, Stewart, Nolan, and Roberts, I believe. And that provided funding for the county's Eviction Legal Services program. Basically, what this resolution does is it funds the arrears portion with ARPA funding instead of county funding, which we believe is necessary to avoid any potential issues with the gift clause.
And just as the sponsor of that prior resolution, I knew that this was what we had initially hoped would be the outcome. But then when we did the AED program for ARPA, it became unclear how much money there was left in ARPA. So we figured move ahead with the appropriation and then make this adjustment if we can. I agree that this is the right, personally. Any questions from the committee? All right. Any discussion? So then I will entertain a motion to
I'll
adopt
move.
Resolution 419, moved by Legislator
Second,
Collins,
we're calling.
second McCullough. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Resolution 420, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $658,279.76, introduced by the county with Legal Services of the Hudson Valley, the Department of Social Services. This, of course, being the contract in question here. So, the Executive Contreras, would you, is there anything that you want to add on this?
No, not really. This is a contract, and there's a discrepancy between the amount of funding that was in the resolution last month, and that's because, or 2 months ago, last month, and that's because there was another budget line that was supposed to offset that budget amendment.
So there's more money than we thought, as opposed to, well, meaning we were able to offset more of that cost, and that's where the disparity is.
We last so the total contract amount, this increase is for 658,000. Last month the funding was for 567, and that's because there was 89,000 in another line that was used towards this purpose.
Okay. Great. And then this is the for those that are like reviewing the actual contract itself, that we already had a contract with Legal Services, so this is a contract amendment extending that and adding the arrears money. Any questions for the County Executive's team? Any discussion amongst the committee? All right, then I will entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 420.
I'll move.
Moved by Legislator Harmon,
Second.
second by Legislator Collins. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Resolution 430, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the town of New Paltz for the services of a domestic violence investigator assigned to the Ulster County Family and Child Advocacy Center through the Department of Social Services. And I will defer to Commissioner Iposi for a very brief overview of the program.
Sure. And I'm glad that for the county executive contract to give you an update.
Okay. So we've learned that unfortunately, it seems the town of New Paltz is not approving this right now. So we're trying to get some details on that. But for now, we'd like to ask to postpone this because we don't know what they're going to be.
Okay.
They're not moving forward with it right now.
Okay.
We'll do.
Yeah. Is there any discussion on that? As one of the sponsors, I'm comfortable with that.
Do you have a motion to
Well, we can, yeah, we can do that, or we can take no action. Why don't we'll postpone it so that way that's part of the paper trail. So I'll entertain a motion to postpone. Motion to postpone. Or let's just postpone until the next meeting.
Motion to postpone until the next meeting.
Great, thank you. If for some reason there's like some, it occurred to me, actually, let's get a second on that motion before I talk about it.
Second.
Okay, second by McCullough. So that's a live motion on the table, so I'm going to discuss it. The reason I say it until the next meeting is if we ever end up in a situation where there's something that's really time sensitive and we postpone something for 1 month and then we want to actually bring it up again and hold a special meeting to get something passed, if we say postpone until the next meeting, then we can do that. If we say postpone 1 month, we've postponed it 1 month. So let's just think about that. I learned that when we used to have two ways and means meetings. When you have two ways and means meetings a month, then that would be an issue if you postponed it a month. Anyway. Any discussion on the postponement? No? Okay. All those in favor of postponing 1 month?
I think.
Great. Any opposed?
You said it wrong, but
what did I say?
1 month.
Oh my God. All those in favor of postponing. Until the next meeting. Thank you, Legislator Collins. You're getting the hang of things around here, I can tell. Great. So that is postponed until the next meeting. Resolution number 431, approving the execution of a contract for $245,000 entered into by the county with RUPCO through the Department of Finance. I'm not sure who would be best to speak to this, Deputy Executive or?
So I can start. This is related to the resolution passed by the legislature in June to award ARPA funds to the Quality Inn, former Quality Inn for Commissary Kitchen for small businesses. This is the actual contract for that funding.
Great. Legislator Kitchen?
No, long meeting. You had the ARPA meeting earlier.
Yeah.
The town of Ulster should have everything together for their thing by next month.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Collins.
Cool. Any discussion or questions on 431? Okay. Then I will entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 431. I move by Legislator Corcoran.
Second.
Second by Legislator Collins. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Resolution 432, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $3,500, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the county with Helwick Law LLC for the Office for the Aging. And Director Copenhaver, do you want to give us a brief overview?
Sure. Helwick Law is our lawyer who comes in and helps everybody with their estate planning. And I guess it's a good thing that she has a rather long wait list now of people to take care of and had to up her amount a little bit to cover some of the expenses that we're finding. We had, I think it's part of our death literacy. I don't want to go into detail about that, but we had a series of educational forums about estate planning, and it really caught people's fancy that they better get their estate in line. And she's had a lot more calls and a lot more interest. So it's wonderful. It's just trying to accommodate everybody who wants to get in and see her. So she's got hours and time that she can allot to us.
And this is a mostly federally funded program?
Yes, mm-hmm. The legal part is federally funded.
Great. Okay. Any questions from the committee? Any points of discussion? All right, then I will entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 432.
True comments.
Moved by McCullough, second by Harmon. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Resolution 433, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $70,000 entered into by the county with Home Health Care and Companion Agency, Inc. through the Office for the Aging. And Dr. Copenhaver?
This is the second year of that contract, so it's expected. And they are one of our contracted agencies that we have dedicated aid with. So we have an aide who works specifically for us for our cases, for personal care level 2 cases mostly, and it's working out quite well. We can use them to speed along our wait list as much as we can. and we don't have to wait for them to find an aide. We have an aide who has dedicated 40 hours a week to us, which is nice.
Any questions?
Sorry.
That's okay.
I haven't been checking off.
Oh, you don't have to.
Sorry, my name.
That's actually fine, because sometimes there will be, it's right for the checking off. We don't actually need to check them off. You can check them off.
Yes, I can search for it.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're one of our licensed entities. We have about six of them.
Great. Cool. Any questions from the committee? Any points of discussion? Okay. Then I will entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 433. Moved by Legislator Corcoran.
Second.
Second by Legislator Collins. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Resolution number, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Resolution 434, amending the 2024 Ulster County budget to accept increased funding from the New York State Office of Addiction Services and Supports for a 2.84% COLA cost of living adjustment through the Department of Mental Health. Commissioner, you want to give us any background?
Sure. It's the COLAs that were included in the state's budget to be disseminated amongst our contracts for OASIS programs, mostly primary prevention programs that are done in the school districts.
Great. Great. Any questions for Commissioner McDonald? Yeah. Legislator McCullough?
This COLA, is this going to be part of the new salary going forward? Or is it just a one-time?
So we're only able to increase the contracts based on what's included in the state budget. So for right now, it's a one-time. The hope is that the state will, they've been doing this consistently for the past 3 years. And that's based on not doing it specifically for the past 10. So the hope is that they will continue this trend, but I won't know that until the state budget passes. So for right now, it's just a one-time COLA.
I only ask because where I work at, sometimes they build it in and then increase your budget the next year. Sometimes they don't. So, okay.
Sure. Question. Any other questions? Any discussion? All right, then I'll entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 434. Moved by Legislator McCullough, second by Kitchen. Is that right?
Okay.
Yes.
Excellent. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Resolution 435, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $8,092, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the county with Family Services, Inc., through the Department of Mental Health. And Commissioner McDonald, want to give us background?
Sure. This is the corresponding contract to the COLAs for the primary prevention services that Family Services does within our school districts. So it's connected to the previous resolution.
I would be happy to make a motion approving that.
Okay. Well, we can entertain that motion.
Family Services is very, a lot of court things. Helped a lot of people I know personally. Yeah.
So there's a motion on the table. Can I have a second? Right. Second by Legislator Collins. Any further discussion or questions for Commissioner McDonald? All right. Then I will call the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Resolution 436, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $2,827, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the county with Family of Woodstock, Inc., through the Department of Mental Health. Commissioner McDonald, again, do you want to give us some brief background?
This is also connected to the COLA from Resolution 434, to accept the COLA funds for that. For primary prevention services.
And this money will go to Family of Woodstock?
Yes.
Are there any questions for Commissioner McDonald besides that one? Any points of discussion? Okay. Then I will entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 436.
Summit.
Moved by Legislator Harmon, second by Legislator Kitchen. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Resolution 437, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $8,125, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the county with Rehabilitation Support Services, Inc. through the Department of Mental Health. And again, this is, I'm assuming, the same sort of thing. Is there anything new to add?
Just that this is not necessarily for primary prevention. This is for individuals that are reintegrating into the community following a stay in rehab or stepping down from a sober living house so that they have the supports in order to maintain it.
Great. Yeah. Any questions for Commissioner McDonald? Any discussion? All right, then I will entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 437.
I'll make a motion.
Moved by Legislator Kitchener. Second by Legislator McCulloch. Excellent. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Resolution 439, amending the 2024 to 2029 Capital Improvement Program, establishing Capital Project 704 Golden Hill Solar Project, amending the 2024 Capital Fund Budget, Department of Planning. And I will defer to Director Doyle on this one.
Thank you, Chair. This is an amendment that follows a solar grant that the county received relative to the Golden Hill project. The county will own the solar facilities on top of the Golden Hill project. And the match is a 50% match, which will be matched by the project itself. So because we own the facilities, we have to do the capital project in order to do that. We'll go through a mini bid process in order to construct them. Penrose, which is the owner of the Golden Hill project, will act as the county's project manager.
Great. And it's, to be very specific, it's Penrose that's paying the other part.
That's correct. Yeah. Penrose will provide the match.
Got it.
That's correct.
And the power that's generated?
Power that we anticipate that this, it's about between a 650 to 700 kilowatt system, and the power that generated would power the common areas in the project. There are seven buildings in the project, and there will be solar on each of the seven buildings.
Yep, Legislator Kitchen.
To comment and say that I've been up to the facility in my role as a building inspector, and ground has been broken, and we've met the developers, and it's going to be a good project up there.
Glad to hear that. That's great.
What you need to have.
Very good. I like the sound of that. Any other questions or comments? All right. Then I will entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 439. Moved by Legislator Collins, seconded by Legislator Harmon. All those in favor? Any opposed?
All right.
Resolution 440, authorizing the Ulster County Executive to execute a contract with the New York State Environmental Facilities Corporation for funding for the implementation of septic system replacement program, amending the 2024 Ulster County budget through the Department of Planning. And Director Doyle again.
So this is, again, a grant from the state. This is actually, I think, from ESD, and it will fund septic replacement in certain areas in the county, particularly as it relates to street corridors and water bodies. Your septic system, A, has to fail, and B, it has to be within those areas, the streams that I talked about, and finally, it has to be within 250 feet of those streams. The match here is dollar for dollar. It's $10,000 maximum. So if you spend $10,000, you get $10,000. If you spend less than that, you'll get that. The project does not come with any administrative fees. So the implementation of this project is going to be difficult, and the planning department is looking for partners now relative to its implementation. We would probably have to find small administrative fees out of our budget, existing budget, in order to make this work.
Before I talk, does anyone have any questions? I have some. The administrative cost, is it just a matter of like eligibility and distributing the funds, or is there actually like project management included in it?
So the contracts are directly from the homeowner to the installer, but A, somebody has to determine that the system is failing. somebody has to determine that the design is okay, and somebody has to determine the eligibility requirements. So it's not, and somebody has to return that it's installed correctly. So all of those things come into play. So we don't imagine high administrative fees, but we do imagine that when we find the partners having a conversation with Soil Water Conservation District, maybe able to give us some time having a conversation with others as well.
And this is from New York State Environmental Facilities Corporation?
I believe it is. That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Other counties that have done this essentially are providing the entire administrative cost of bearing by themselves. Some of them are actually matching the program dollar for dollar.
Oh, so it would be like a triple match?
Yeah.
And I mean, what I'm hearing is that we are bearing the entire administrative cost.
But that's just administrative costs, which are not going to be substantial.
Okay. It sounds substantial, but
yeah.
I
would suspect between $1,000 a facility. So if they all have $10,000, you may have a $30,000 administrative cost associated with it. So it's not a large administrative cost. This is a pilot program from the state. We anticipate that there'll be additional funding rounds. It is not income tested.
Okay. Interesting. What is the eligibility? I mean, you mentioned the eligibility, yeah, like geographically and from an engineering standpoint. Is there anything else?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Cool. Gregor.
Well, I'm thinking that it sounds like it's going to be more than what we're saying, because the number of things that you're saying needs to be done, we don't know if it's one person that can do three of those things, or
we think it is. We think that there is a opportunity here for the Soil Water Conservation District to step in and do some of this work, and for the health department to do some of the work relative to the system is designed properly, even if they don't have the necessary manpower to go out and actually do the individual inspections on the system itself. Inspections shouldn't be that difficult, mainly because you'll dye test the system. If something shows up on the dye test, you'll know that the system fails.
Yeah.
But it's time, and it's eligibility, and it's other kinds of things that have to be done. The good news is that this program is generally extant within the New York City watershed. They do a similar program, a lot more money, but a similar program in the watershed. So I do my best work when I copy somebody else's. So we will copy their application process, et cetera, and tie it into how our grants work.
Thank you. Yep. Legislator Collins, followed by Harmon.
I think this is a great program. I know it's going to cost us some money to do it, but I think it's going to clean up to 30 failing septic systems in a water, sensitive water area. So
yeah,
it's a good program to do.
Yeah. My question was going to be, just for the record, what are the consequences of not doing this, and what are the relative costs
in rough terms? Obviously, water quality is a consequence, because the reason you do this is because there's evidence in the water bodies that they're being contaminated by fecal coliform, et cetera, those things that come out of septic systems. So that's the first thing that's the reason for that. The other consequences are essentially that some homeowners, particularly the low moderate income homeowners, don't have the wherewithal to fix the system, so they stay unfixed until essentially somebody goes out and their neighbors complain or somebody else complains, et cetera. And then the health department is forced to step in those instances, and they literally have no place to turn to. We were already getting calls from homeowners that are looking at $25,000 and $30,000 bills to replace their septic systems.
That would be the county health department?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Unless there's a complaint that they have to investigate.
Right. It wouldn't go through local building. Okay.
It's in your sanitary code. If you look at the county sanitary code, that's where you'll find it. It's in the sanitary code.
Yep. Legislator. Okay. So you're
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. So Legislator Corcoran.
So I know, as discussed, the health department is overstretched as it is, so it's tough for them to get here. So maybe this is a call to the executive's office, maybe to expand in that department and get them a little bit more help, and then maybe they'll be able to outreach and help us with this. Obviously, they're so overburdened right now. I see them not being able to help us with this, and I know those gentlemen, and they'd be willing to do anything they can. But over the last year, even when we asked the executive office for that additional spot and it was turned down because it wasn't budgeted, I really hope the executive office looks into budgeting a position there to help. We've got one engineer working there, and it's taken us 6 to 8 months to get pool permits done. And I've got guys in the field that can't get to sites because they don't have cars. And I think that department is very important to Ulster County. It's overworked, it's understaffed, and it doesn't have the necessities that they need to do their job. So, you know, again, I work with them all the time. And I think that, again, something like this, if they had the manpower, they'd be willing to help. But obviously, they're overworked and understaffed. That maybe that I really hope the executive office does look at helping our health department expand its staffing and basically their cars and their with their for their use.
So is that responding directly?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to go to deputy executive, and then just if she's going to, unless you're, Eric, if yours is on this topic, then you can add to it, and then she can respond to both of you.
Yeah. So
is that all right? Great.
So we might know I have a real estate company. I'm a real estate broker. I went and met with a gentleman up in the town of Kingston looking to build a house, wanted a price. I talked to him about, you know, septics, and he said, Eric, you know, he goes, I said, you know, dig some test holes, whatever. He said, Eric, I can't get anybody out here for 3 months to even look at a test hole. So I don't know. They're reiterating the shortage that Tom had said with the personnel.
Deputy Executive Interest, do you want to address that?
Yeah, I 100% agree. We've been working on this. So last year we added, I believe, two engineers, and we raised the salary of one. They've been adding engineers for this very reason. They still have one vacancy, which is one of the new ones we added last year. It's just very hard to recruit engineers right now. But they are trying. We've been working on the cars issue that you raised. So this week we got them a new van. For the medical examiner, not a new van. We got them a van that has been reused, but they will be adding a vehicle. And then we have two other ones that we're working on getting to their environmental health team. So working on the van issue, working on the cars issue, working on the personnel issue. We are also talking to them about adding more staff because there is even another new state mandate to create a lead rental registry, which is going to require new people. And so we're in conversation with them about how and if any of those people can be used for this program, you know, really trying to make sure that we're getting the staff that they need. And there was one other thing. Oh, on the digital services, we are making progress on digitizing, to your point about the records clerk.
I would say that this is not about not wanting to help.
Absolutely
not. It's just literally about a level of frustration that deals with the idea of I'm doing all that I can. I can't do more. And from a planning department's perspective, we recognize this when we apply, but the option to apply for this grant relative to the fact that it was an allocation and a pilot was something that we felt that we couldn't pass up. We also felt that we could work our way around it to try to find ways that we can implement this with the least amount of pressure on the health department as well. I would also say that we also have a Leading with Lead grant, which was similar. It's an allocation of money. We felt that we couldn't pass it up. We applied. Those ongoing conversations with the health department have been extremely fruitful relative to the recognition that we have kids at risk and young adults at risk for lead hazards. And we'll work our way through it. It may not be pretty at times, but my sense is that these are things that you pass through.
Legislator McCullough.
What are some of the things that homeowners can do to help themselves as far as septics? Maybe.
Oh boy, you're asking the wrong guy.
Additional cleanouts.
Yeah.
You know, more often than not, you know, education on what you should and should not flush. I mean, obviously, into the system, and then the additives that can be built into the systems for the bacteria. You know, to help the bacteria. You know, basically. washing machines, you know, when they dry wells are meant so that most of that doesn't go into your septic tank, into your system. And unfortunately, the hand sanitizers break down the bacteria, which is not good for your septic system. The bacteria is actually needed to break down the solid. So when people use hand sanitizers or soaps that have antibacterial, that's actually not good for a septic system. So it's education, really, more often than anything. That's what I would say.
Thank you.
I just asked that question because maybe people watching that don't have the money. I believe in helping myself the best I can. So hopefully people heard what you said and maybe start doing the right thing. So, $25,000 is a lot when you don't have it.
Yeah.
It's a lot when you do.
So with that, if there's any more questions or discussion on 440, I will entertain a motion to adopt resolution 440. Moved by Corcoran, second by Harmon. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Resolution 443, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 9, 2024, a local law providing real property tax exemption of the county portion of the real property taxation and special ad valorem levies for the creation of new accessory dwelling units in accordance with New York State Real Property Tax Law Article 4, Title 2, Private Property, Section 421(p)(2), to be held on Tuesday, September 17th at 7 p.m. And I will, Deputy Executive Contreras, do you want to, on your side, discuss this, or Director Doyle?
Yeah, I'll defer to Clint.
So this is a recently passed section of the Real Property Tax Code that provides for exemptions for new construction, or excuse me, not new construction, but new units, right, that are accessory dwelling units. And it requires that the assessor essentially exempt those, the new construction, the changes in the taxable value. And it provides a schedule for those exemptions to take place. I believe the first 2 years are 100% exemptions, and then it goes down at a 10% level, and the last 2 years, I think, are 25% or 20%. Don't quote me on the way that it goes down, but it effectively says that the county's portion of your property tax will not increase if you install a new ADU, create a new unit. And then it provides a way in order for those values to essentially begin to increase.
Yep, Legislator Collins.
So to be clear, that the local tax does not get affected by this.
That's correct.
As much as county-only tax.
Okay.
And is there a requirement that the ADUs be affordable in any manner, or just that it's an ADU?
There isn't a requirement that they be affordable. The local law that I think was filed with you does talk about the fact that there's ways that we can add to the local law to deal with those issues. And one of the things that we did in the draft local law is we added a section that says you couldn't use it for a short-term rental. So that was added in. And the city of Kingston has adopted this, along with something with respect to multifamily units, but we didn't. Any new accessory dwelling unit is more affordable than no new accessory dwelling unit. So we didn't think that we would want to move into an affordability requirement. One is it's difficult to enforce, whereas short-term rentals are easier to enforce because most communities have a short-term rental registry, and we also have a tax program for short-term rentals as well. So we pick them up in that basis, and we're requiring. So I recall the local law, don't quote me on it, but as I quote the law, we actually require that you sign an affidavit that you will not use it as a short term in order to get the tax advantages.
I apologize for not reading the law all the way through. Is there a penalty clause if they do end up being?
Yes, the exemption would be
full.
Full. Right. Yeah.
The exemption. So, City of Kingston.
Yeah.
Has short-term rental law in place,
yeah.
Very strict. We are allowing 106 short-term rentals. They are not allowed, like you had said, in the ADUs.
Yeah.
We have, of course, a program called Granicus that every day will send us information if somebody is renting out illegally renting out a ADU as a short-term rental or an illegal short-term rental.
And that's what the county, I'm sorry, sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's what the county uses as well. We use a company called Grampus as well to track them.
The penalties are huge though, Jason.
Yeah.
First offense, I think it's like 2,000, second offense, 5,000.
Yeah, in this instance, we would just lose the exemption.
Okay. Any other questions? I'm curious, how does would we expect to see a similar resolution from you guys on the multifamily the same way we have in Kingston?
It's under discussion.
Okay. Yep, go ahead, Legislator.
We know which municipalities allow ADUs. I'm not sure that all of them do or don't.
All of them do. There are various regulatory roadblocks that are in place for ADUs in various communities. I would say that the Housing Smart Communities Initiative that the county has launched is removing a lot of those roadblocks. So a lot of them are starting to be permitted as of right, and others are moving towards. Not as right, they're moving some of the restrictions in terms of where they can be located, how they go through the necessary approval process. Think of this as setbacks, density, those types of things that are typically found in zoning statutes. So we've been successful in terms of loosening restrictions on accessory dwelling units. Have we been completely successful? No, but we've had some really great, Marbletown is a really good example. We have some success in the town of Olive, some success in Saugerties, et cetera. But we're working on it and continue to work on it. And it goes in place with respect to the ADU program that's out there from the state, which is paying $125,000 for people to build new ADUs. That program is out there from the state right now. The county, through RUPCO, we applied and got money. The county now has entered into round two, so there's about $6 million in ADU funding countywide being managed through RUPCO to construct new ADUs, including the city of Kingston as well. We had the first go-around for this was round one. We had 81 applications, and we could probably fund about 14. So there's huge interest here.
Yep,
last question. So I know some towns, including Woodstock, are considering multiple ADUs. Would this apply to if someone did multiple ADUs, or just
it's a good question that I don't have an answer to, but I would tell you this, that the exemption is limited to $200,000. So there's a limit on the value. Whether that applies on each ADU or on total on the property, I'd have to go back and look at the statute. I would tend to think that it's $200,000
on the property because it's a single assessment. It's that's not correct. It'll get assessed separately.
I would think that would be the case.
So I'm going to go to Legislator Kitchen and then McCullough.
I just wanted to touch on Mr. Kyle's question. So, for example, the city of Kingston, I'm in charge of the zoning for the city of Kingston, and the zoning code specifically says you're allowed to have one ADU. So I think each town in the county is different. And I will tell you, I think, and if Dennis, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the city of Kingston the last one to come to the table with the approval of the ADUs? Because they before, in my tenure, they didn't allow them before. And this just changed with the new Kingston form-based zoning code, correct?
I don't know. I will tell you that the new form-based code, we had a significant discussions with the city relative to ADUs. I would also say that from the planning department's experience, this administration's within the city of Kingston's progressive way that it treats housing and the need for housing has been exceptional.
Right.
And it's code example. Yeah.
So just like in the last, up until August of 2023, ADUs were not allowed in the city of Kingston, but you know, the way Kingston solved the housing crisis was it wasn't to build more because we don't have more land. It was to take the existing square footage that we already had in Kingston and find ways to develop that into more housing, which has really worked out very well.
Legislator McCullough?
My question is on exemption. If someone's exemption is pulled, does that prevent them from being exempt in the future or?
They couldn't reinstate the exemption on the existing improvement. So it would be, so for example, if it was, if they lost the exemption the third year, it's gone.
Right.
They can't reinstate it.
All right, any other questions on this? Then I will entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 443. Moved by Legislator Harmon.
Second.
Second by Legislator Collins. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. That is our last resolution. We do have one forthcoming resolution, and that is Resolution 441, initiating the process to consider a countywide intermunicipal water and sewer feasibility study. This was postponed in economic development a couple of days ago, and I'll would love to hear background on this from Director Doyle or executive controllers, whomever.
So the question was asked planning department relative to the need for an assessment of the water and sewer facilities at the county level. And it was we had responded that planners love studies and assessments, so we responded that there always is a reason to look at these kinds of facilities. The danger here is a couple dangers here, a couple concerns. One is that feasibility study sort of begins to suggest that there's a different way of doing things rather than a look at what's been done and how well is it working. So we like to think of this as an assessment that basically looks at the water and sewer capacities within the county and begins to sort of categorize where we're at on those, what their conditions are, where they are, et cetera. The example I would use is you could probably find out more about where reptiles cross culverts than you can find out where sewer lines run under streets. And that's a problem. Not that we should know about reptiles getting under culverts, but that we should know essentially where sewer lines run under the streets and what their capacity is and what conditions they're in. And that has all kinds of implications with respect to the ability to accept new housing units and economic development work, et cetera. So that's one of the reasons to do that. The other thing is to take a look at your water supply systems in a similar way, that we understand what our water supply systems are, whether they can be interconnected, what their current capacities are, what their problems are, et cetera, et cetera. So we look at this sort of like, think of this as what we've done with respect to housing. We did a housing assessment. We took a look at where we were in the housing compendium of things that we needed to do and need to be concerned about, characterize that, and then decided what we should do about it. The legislature put substantial amounts of dollars with respect to public systems, with respect to water and sewer, with respect to ARPA dollars. So we should be able to essentially say, well, how effective was that? What things need to be done out there? The other thing is if you don't know, there's something called intended use plans, where the state provides money to essentially upgrade water and sewer systems. Those intended use plans can either be given to municipalities in terms of low interest loans, or they can be given to municipalities with respect to actual grants. It depends on your income, whether you're a disadvantaged community or not. In general, in the past, and I haven't looked in a while now, in general, in the past, those intended use plans were not coming close to meeting the needs of the state of New York with respect to investments in its water and sewer systems. I want you to think about the fact that most of these water and sewer systems in the county were probably initially put in the 70s and 80s under the past Clean Water Act. And think about how old they are. And if you go back to the city of Kingston, if you think about the barrels in the streets and the investment that the city had to make over time in order to improve its sewer systems, those are the kinds of things that you want to understand moving forward in terms of what those needs are at a community level. Not that the county should step in and do anything about those needs, but the idea that we're putting a community on notice that, and putting us on notice that if we want to expand and provide more housing, what those capacities are, what those concerns are. We have some great examples of how that's being done in terms of providing water and sewer systems The Village of New Paltz uses community development block grant funds. They are a low and moderate income community, believe it or not, probably because of the students. And they're doing what they call I&I, infiltration and inflow, work on their sewer systems because of the fact that when it rains, they actually have issues with respect to the capacity of their plants and meeting their parameters. Town of Ulster?
Yes.
Has done great work with respect to trying to make sure that if you could find a trailer park in the town of Ulster, you'll find somebody that wants to run a sewer line or a water line to it.
Well, Harry and we did the whole many phases, yep.
And those are the kinds of things I think that we want to understand and know about. You have an example I would give you on the private water supply systems, about 100 and change of private water supply systems. Probably somewhere in the neighborhood of between 35 and 50 of those water supply systems are very small water supply systems, and they're privately owned. The condition of those water supply systems and how they work is of some concern relative to making sure that they can, if they fail, the Public Service Commission can step in. You've seen some of this recently with the county executive's concern with some of the water supply systems that are operated by a particular company. So what I think this came out of the chair, as I understand it, I think what the chair is looking at is some of the conversations that we've had over time relative to this and some of the committee meetings as well, has been just think that we should understand our basic infrastructure needs, and water and sewer are top on those lists. And we don't control any of those systems. We own a small water supply system on Golden Hill, which is what they call a secondary system to the city of Kingston. But the understanding of those systems and an assessment of those systems from a planning perspective, I think that that's a prudent thing to talk about. I also want to go back to the comment that was made with respect to the difficulties that the health department has now, the difficulties that the planning department has now in terms of the number of programs that we're doing. It is a really uphill battle. These are not small studies, and you have to pay attention to them. And we have to make sure that the communities aren't on board. If the communities aren't on board, this breaks down relatively quickly. So we may need to make sure that before we go ahead in this thing, that the communities are all on board and want to participate and help us move this work.
Great.
That's a longer explanation for a very short question.
Legislator Collins.
So it's more of an assessment than a feasibility study, which kind of changes the whole tone of it. And my, just that word changes the tone of it, and my understanding of what we're looking at.
We think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not speaking for the chair, right?
Yeah.
But we think so.
Chair.
Chris Will.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. He's the sponsor. Okay. Got it. The reason for the postponement?
I think to make sure that one is to make sure that we're on board in terms of where we think that we should put our energies, and also to make sure that we have the necessary understanding in terms of our ability to implement this over a period of time. I think the original resolution called for 60 days to issue an RFP. That's a tough stretch in where we are right now. In some of this work.
Yeah, Legislator Collins?
I think part of it might be too understanding the municipalities' take on this, because they can hear it in different ways.
Yeah.
And I think that's a question I don't want assessed, you might want to say, because you're going to put more housing that I don't want here.
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of issues people have around, you know, some certain towns I live in, like having a small sewer district because they can't have much more. Yeah.
All right. Any other questions on that?
Nope.
Okay. That's the last resolution. We have no new business. We have no older business. I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Legislator Kitchen, motion to adjourn.
Nothing.
Legislator Harmon, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we're adjourned. Thank you all.